Welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we explore the survivor's journey, practitioners making a difference, and the therapeutic treatments and transformational technology that allow the body to heal itself. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Through my healing journey, I've become increasingly aware of the way environmental toxicity affects my body. In the past, I've tested high for mercury, lead, cadmium, glyphosate, and mycotoxins from mold. I've experienced this as fatigue, full body neuralgia, and brain fog. And after years of conventional treatments with limited results, I knew I needed to ask different questions if I wanted a different answer. Now, around this time, I was introduced to the Ion Cleanse by AMD at an integrative wellness symposium. I came across a technology where people put their feet in water, and over the next 20 to 30 minutes, ions were released into the water that assists the body's natural ability to release toxins. As you can imagine, I was very, very skeptical, but after my first session, I felt clear-headed, lighter, and a little bit high, and I was intrigued enough to invest in a unit. My N equals one experiment? I've watched levels of most environmental toxicity fall by almost 30% after 4 months. Now, this is a friend favorite, and as people come over to my home, they ask, Freddie, can I please do a foot bath? This is a heart-centered company, the support is amazing, and they offer a 60-day, 100% money-back guarantee. The Ion Cleanse by AMD is a safe, non-invasive way to help the body detox naturally, and it's trusted by the Beautifully Broken Podcast. So reach out to Glenn at AMD today and see if it's a good fit for your home or your wellness clinic. Visit their site for more details at www.amajordifference.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. I'm here with an amazing guest who I've yet to meet in person. We have Kristen Weitzel. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Freddie.
It's an honor to be here. You're certainly in my field. You're all up in my Instagram feed. Is this, you know, I'd say we cohabitate the Knights of the Round Table is in this world of self-optimization and biohacking. And your site is Warrior Woman Mode, which I love the title. I love the colors that you use when you tell your story. You have a very specific color palette that is aligned with like this total spectrum of wellness. Can you tell the audience a little about, I guess, maybe just tell us how you got into this world of self-optimization, biohacking, fitness, all of it. And then I can kind of paint the scale to which you go to it.
Yeah, for sure. I've always been that N of one experimenter, even when I was young. I talk a lot about, I grew up as a dancer, and there was a little bit of a stigma around ballet when I was young, where it was like, you need to be a certain size and shape, i.e. thin, and, you know, manage your physiology or your physique very, very well. And it was something that I just noticed from you're looking in the mirror. I started dancing at 5 and you're looking in the mirror all the time. And then there's this different, you know, thankfully it's not like this anymore. If you look at the, you know, Copeland, who's like the lead ballerina in the New York City Ballet Company, Missy Copeland just has a physique and a figure that's strong. And so that's a really beautiful transition that's happened. But because I was looking in the mirror all the time, I wanted to understand how I could like fuel myself as I was growing up and look appropriate for what I was trying to do with dancing. And I had this first moment, this is silly to go into, but it's just, there was a moment in puberty when I just developed overnight seemingly. And it felt like the feedback I got from the dance community, and my one teacher specifically, was maybe it's time for like tap or jazz or moving into another vertical of dance. And that was sort of sad for me, you know, like hindsight, 2020, it's fine. It taught me some lessons, but that was a challenge. But that's where I started to first get interested in food, is like thinking and trying to see how women were, these other dancers were managing food throughout their school career. And I got really nerdy with it. I read all these books from the Diamonds about food combining. And then I was juicing when no one was juicing. I had a juicer at my grandmother's. I was like making green juice, reading books like Juicing for Life. and, you know, 17. And it felt like you got a little heat for it back then. And that trajectory just continued on as I grew up trying different things, vegetarianism. And then eventually I was working a big corporate job and knew I needed energy. And my partner at the time was like, hey, let's read this book called Clean by Younger. And that was How to Clean Up Your Diet. That was sort of the precursor to me becoming really heavily involved with paleo, primal movement, Mark Sisson, sort of the granddaddy there of the primal movement. And that led to Dave Asprey and the Bulletproof Coffee thing and biohacking and figuring out all of the tools and tricks and ways that I could uplevel my body using modern technology coupled with the things I had been doing before. You know, I always had yoga in my life. I always had dance in my life. I had things like that. I was a theater major. So when you rolled it all up together, I think my friends thought it was kind of quirky and weird. I got made fun of a lot in school. And that's, you know, but it was also like, you know, braces, glasses, full on, like theater major, full on thing, performing arts high school. So like, it doesn't really get much more nerdy than that in some ways, or just, I liked the obscure, you know, and like oddball things. We had a guy down the block whose family would like give some clothes to us. They were a couple years older, and it was like the daughter and the son all mixed in one bag. And I'd always like take out the boys' clothes and be like, can I wear Billy Hanley's stuff to school? So this is like a tangent, but also it's like an interesting piece for me that I got. Thank goodness I was a little into the obscure. Thank goodness I was like, let me see what else I can find in the world, because it made me really curious. Mm. And so that's the nature of me falling into the quote unquote biohacking world and how I'm here doing what I'm doing today.
That's beautiful. So you've had all these great guides and mentors, Mark Sisson. Who is the woman? Her name's, I think it's Nora. She has one of the, it was like one of the primal movement, primal body. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm, I don't.
It was one of the first paleo books I've come to, and she was very much in the Mark Sisson community. But Dave Asprey, and you've got all these other people. So you've had some great guides and some people to stand on their shoulders. Where are you today? How have you pulled out as far as owning your platform and what you do and what's unique? How have you brought like your essential essence into this? Because you do some coaching and you do public speaking and some, obviously some training with these high level clients. What have you brought to it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think everyone needs to bring their flavor to the table, right? There's definitely still not enough people like you and me in the world trying to get other people healthy and feeling well and feeling really good about themselves. I think that there's an internal component to that mindset that we can talk about later. But the thing for me was, you know, I also would be remiss to not mention Dan Garner, who's the guy who really just like gave me the tough love on nutrition and trained me to be a nutritionist. And he has a heavy focus around sports and athletes. And I've always been involved in sport or training in some way. And by that, I mean lifting heavy things more than just this chronic cardio thing that happens sometimes. And for me, it was, how do I take the thing that's essentially me, which is female, right, from a physiological standpoint, and how do I roll in all this data that has been pushed out predominantly by men, which is cool. Like I've had a lot of male mentors, but how do I roll it in together and how do I round the edges for it and deliver it in a way that it is aggregated data? So there's a few things that I'm real attached to, like breath work and cold exposure. And I continue to train in those areas, nutrition for sure, like sports nutrition specialist. But most of the things that I bring to the table are things that I've been lucky and fortunate enough to have mentors around the globe and learn from people over the 15 years. And so it gives me a level of expertise. However, there are always people in the meditation vertical that are going to be well more versed than I am. But the challenge is people can't find that, right? So I wanted to go to females specifically because there is a gap in the research and there is a gap in some of the biohacking translation. I use the word biohacking a lot. Some people don't love it, but I use it because I want to make it approachable to everyone. It's not going away. It's in the dictionary, right? Dave coined this term and it should be all encompassing of ancestral practices and things that we do in the modern day that are super bleeding edge. And it's hard to swallow all that. And I think because in the beginning it was like Ben Greenfield and Dave Asprey and let's put red light on our balls. Like that was a little off-putting for many female. And so the intersection of female physiology and biohacking and nutrition. And then for me, a big part of it is creating an understanding around fitness variants and what we're doing to ourselves and our bodies. As women specifically, I mean, I've had a couple of male clients, but predominantly I work with women. How do we work fitness into this? Because that is a piece that in my mind is quite overlooked in the biohacking world when it comes to the like sensational nature of what you see online, right? Mm-hmm. People are like, this is a workout, and no one is ever like, this is biohacking your fitness so that it's varied enough so you actually get stronger, better, faster.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the shifts that you would see as far as putting together a programmatic pathway forward to feeling better, optimizing, building muscle for women that's very, very different from men. What do you think the big mistakes people are when you're just like, I'm going to get fit? Like, what would you say that needs to be taken into account when designing a program for a woman?
Well, the first thing I would say is hormones, and I'll elaborate because it's super important. It's like today I started a program with the gym that I'm in a leadership program for. I started a new program and I was like, I'm committing to myself to post on social or speak to the person who's coaching it to say every day, day 22 of my cycle, like that's where I'm at today, and shared it on social because we're not as females looking at our hormone profile and working out in accordance with it. Now that's a general statement. There are some women that are doing that, but I continue to meet women who are highly intelligent, very into fitness and wellness, and have no idea. Yesterday I spoke to a nurse and said, do you know that day 6 through day 14 or 16, it's a little varied, right? Because our cycles are all our menstrual cycle. That's what we're talking about. Cycles, not spinning. Sometimes we're like spinning. So my menstrual cycle with our hormones, like day 6 to day, I don't know, 14 or so, there is a window of time where our estrogen is spiking, and estrogen is anti-catabolic. It is anabolic. It's growing. It helps us grow muscle, and we can grow muscle 35% up to 35%. Some of the studies say 44% maximal power and muscle, but like if I average it out, 35% more muscle during those 10 to 12 days of the month versus any other day of the month. So if there was a program, if that news came out for dudes, there would be 4,000 programs, and you could walk into a GNC and be like, let me get the 12-day muscle builder, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, how funny is that? And so I that's the first and foremost thing. And I always look at the muscle building capacity of estrogen, but we have 4 different phases in our cycle. I always say I'm not 4 different people, I'm 28 different people, but we have 4 different phases in our cycle, and women are not utilizing them to their advantage. You know, in some cases it's hard to, something's scheduled and it doesn't match maybe how you feel or what's going on with your cycle, and that's fine. But how can we optimize our calendar, if you will, so that maybe work or fitness or the way we eat, right? Because the same thing with estrogen being anabolic, it's like also you can uptake some more carbohydrates into your muscles because of estrogen. So it's a really interesting thing to start to understand and take some personal responsibility about your estrogen and your progesterone, what's happening, fasting. Like I just interviewed Mindy Pelz. She's an incredible woman. She has a book called The Menopause Reset, and it's about women who are perimenopausal and menopausal, figuring out how they can utilize fasting and a whole bunch of different tools to be able to just get their bodies feeling great and energy. And it's like a lot of this is sitting in the window of what hormones are in your body at this time of life, or at this time, if you are in the reproductive years, how can we use the different phases of the cycle to like build more muscle and be able to get the carbs we need and feel better, and when we should rest and when we should fast? And we're not doing it.
That's amazing. What would be one of your favorite ways to get a complete look at the hormonal picture in a woman in order to make a determination on how you'd structure a program?
Yeah. The gold standard seems to be the Dutch test, which is dried urine test. You can do it at home. It's really lovely because not only do they, you know, Dutch themselves, they provide the test and all of the little things you need to do as you send it back in, but they will review your results and the way that they lay out results. And I know that you're familiar with this because a lot of times I'm like following things you're doing and I'm like, how is he reading that information? You know, you have to kind of study and figure out how it's laid out when you get your results. And so that's as with many things in the medical community and lab testing community, but Dutch does a really good job of making it sweetly available enough for the layman or the householder, sometimes I say, and, you know, and then you get a coach and you work with your coach on those things. And it's 2 things. It's number one, seeing where your levels are at, because sometimes they're off for some reason, burnout or stress or you know, things going on in your cycle or what have you, and you have to figure that out from a baseline standpoint, you know, what's going on with that. And then, I mean, we need to know as females what day of our period cycle or what day of our menstrual cycle we are on. It's just, I get clients and they're like, I don't know. And then I also have clients where they tell me on their application form and I keep it tracked, or their intake form, I keep it tracked, and I'll be like, you're on like day 17. So you should be. And they're like, I am. And so I want that for the ladies in the house. I want that for females, because we can use the four phases of our cycle and estrogen specifically as a superpower. So we might as well use it instead of stigmatizing it or shaming ourselves over it or whatever, right? And like, let your partner know. Don't you think it would be a good idea for your romantic life, whether you're dating a man or a woman, and especially if you're two women, let your partner know what's going on, because there's different ways that we like to be held in touch. There's different, you know, there's so many different variables. So I don't want to make the whole podcast about that, but that is it's a big important piece for me. And I will just sidebar this one thing, Freddie, which I think I don't always talk about, but it sort of suits the way that you so wonderfully and openly share with your listeners. Is like, I had a really tough time sort of as I was raised in this corporate community. I was working in marketing and stuff before I got into the wellness field. And I had a really tough time communicating and interacting with males. And I had to learn very quickly how to do that. And I felt, listen, I was like, I'm powerful, I can figure it out. But it just was a shift in so many ways that I had to behave and do things. And part of the reason that I work with women is because I spent a lot of years learning how to work like a man and communicate like a man, so much so that when I got females working for me, they were like, we'd sit down for their review and I'd say, great, and this is great, and work harder on this or whatever. I reviewed them. And at the end, they would be like, okay, thank you so much for sitting down. Can I ask you one question? And like, yeah, sure. Do you like me? Like that's when you know. But it's not that men don't communicate in that way per se, but it's like my corporate male bosses were pretty like straight shooters. Like if something was wrong, they'd get loud about it. And then you'd go to I worked in the liquor industry, and then you'd go to the bar for like happy hour. And it was like, I was so confused, like how they could be like yelling in the office and 5 minutes later just being like, yo, what's up? How are you? It's a very interesting dynamic. But it really taught me that I had to shift how I met. You have to shift. Managing men, women, any type of person, right? You have to shift your style for that specific human being. And also, there is a distinctive difference that I felt in the workplace and a bit in the health and wellness place, which is where my passion truly lies. It's like sort of my peak expression, if you roll all the things together I've done, that needed to be a little bit more innately soft. That, you know, sometimes we don't like to talk about males and females in this age, but it is like, you know, I recently did a plant medicine journey, and they talked a bit about this, like I am versus I do energy. And that's, to me, you know, there are subtle differences and there are strong differences, and we need to understand how to interrelate with people based on where they fall on the spectrum.
I did my I ams this morning.
Good.
I just woke up and I haven't done it in a while. It's funny you brought that up, because I just woke up and I was like feeling really, it was a crazy month. It's been a crazy 2 months of just getting projects across the finish line. And I just felt it this morning. And I was like, wow. And I have a full day today. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pop open YouTube. I'm going to get my I ams. And it's amazing how it opens the doorway to possibility. You don't have to, you know, I don't have to search for the energy. I'm just kind of opening up the door for it to flow through me with that statement and phrasing it in that way, which I think is so, so powerful. Can we talk about your plant medicine experience a little bit?
I knew that this is the first time I'm talking about it on a podcast. I knew you were going to ask about it. Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk. Yes. Graciously allow us, if you're open to it.
I'm open to it. I'm so open to it. I feel like I'm open to it. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So you did a plant medicine experience. If you want to let us know specifically what you did for your ceremony and what the experience was like.
For sure. So let me preface it by saying that I've been a little over 2 years ago, I went to Amsterdam and have a wonderful breathwork mentor over there, Casper van der Meulen, who is at Casper's Focus on Instagram. I'm sure you follow him.
Interviewed him last week.
Okay. See, perfect. So he's amazing. He's always like, you're my biggest fan. You're always cheerleading me. It's like, you changed my life. Like, I knew about breath, and then I went and like learned about breath from you, and wow. he helped me really like reset my nervous system. I have a lot of I do energy, a lot. And so he did a lot of helping me reset my nervous system just in a, I'm in a sort of advanced practitioner's program, but so I owe him a lot for sure for that. I think he also has a really nice balance. The point of the story is I went to Amsterdam where it's legal to take mushrooms, and we dabbled, and because it's legal throughout the learning experience, we dabbled in microdosing. And although I've had other recreational substances in my body over my life, which we don't need to have a conversation about, I really wanted to, you know, have the full experience of being able to microdose and seeing where different dosages and cacao and things like that together gave me more creativity, more capacity for like touching into the breath and touching into different parts of my personality, my femininity, and just really being able to feel slightly expanded. And I enjoyed it. And then I came home to the United States and continued to microdose a couple times a week for the better part of the next few years. And I do a stamina stack. I cycle it a lot. I take a month off here and there. I don't do it every day. And I don't ever do it before the gym. And let's also preface this by saying I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not recommending drug usage. And I don't ever work in this capacity with clients one-on-one because it is an illegal substance in many, many states. But recently I went and did a plant medicine journey that was a whole different level than I expected. That was mostly focused around psilocybin. There are some other things mixed in there. Wachuma, we did a Wachuma. It was a super beautiful experience. One of my friends got me involved with a small group. It was completely facilitated. There were medical people on staff or on site. And there were about 12 of us. And it radically shifted me, especially for people like us that work so much on ourselves. And I think sometimes we might have a little bit of a default mode that's like, I got this, I got this, I got this, be under control. Like I'm certainly don't ever feel like, you know, I feel like I'm beautifully broken and I have traits that and things that I've had in my life that I've really learned from and failures and all of that. And I certainly don't think that I'm perfect, but I think sometimes I, you know, we have this, you know, it's like a fatal flaw. Like, okay, I know all the things to do. I have all the books. I have all the friends. I can handle it or I can just ask someone. And that there are things internally going on. There's like this book I'm sure you've heard of called The Body Keeps Score. That's, you know, really about what we hold on to from childhood and traumas, right? People throw that word around a lot lately, but you know, micro traumas or traumas are things that we've had to deal with and things that we've created in our own minds. And I felt like I had hundreds of opportunities for people asking me to do plant medicine prior in a larger way, in a facilitated way, ayahuasca, things like that. And I had always said, just doesn't call to me, just doesn't call to me. And this, the way that this was introduced to me, this group felt right. And so I went and spent a long weekend there and yeah, it changed me radically. I don't know if you want to talk about how, but.
I want to know how. Give us a little bit of the download.
So it gave me, I spent a decent amount of time alone when I was there. I mean, people are around, but just like off in my own space because I knew that this was about work, like working on like the self-work, the self-love. I knew that there were some areas. I also think I was primed showing up and people will say like, this, the medicine calls to you, the plants call to you when you're ready. And I think I was really primed. I mean, I went to Burning Man for 13 years and I know that people will hear that and be like, oh, we're at Burning Man. It's a rave or a festival or woo woo or what. And it's like, it's none of those things. And it's all of those things. And it's what I find is it's always, you get what you need when you go. And I went 13 years and I ran a camp with my best friend. And I learned a lot about people and I learned a lot about suffering and I learned a lot about making it in the great wide open and a lot about having a great time and really expressing myself in whatever way I wanted to. And so that helped prime me. I think I've also been through some therapy and some other things in my life that really got me open enough to be like ready if there is a ready. And then I spent a lot of time the one day specifically alone with myself and what I would like to say, like my 11-year-old self, which is where I had a lot of blocks, a lot of blind spots, a lot of holding on to energy. And I described, I guess, before I went in to that whole journey experience, I described it recently to someone by saying like, I have a lot of shit in my closet, like not skeletons, but just I'm like hoping on hope and I have a little shame and I have a little sadness and I have a little brokenheartedness and I have all this shit in my closet that I'm like you know, my my ethereal closet, then I'm like holding the door closed because it's so full of self-judgment and self-worth issues and body shaming, whatever's in there. And I'm like, it's like, okay, I'm okay with this. I have this one thing. It sucks. I'm going to put it in that closet. I'm going to hold the door. And I feel like for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, that closet has filled up and I leaned against the door. And now I'm like living my life, like leaning against this closet door that's about to like burst and thinking I'm fine. Thinking it's okay. Like the stories in your head and all the shit you're telling yourself about, you know, you're not good enough all the time, because we all have imposter syndrome in some way or another. We're all a little lonely. We're all a little afraid. Mm. It's like so important to say that, because other people need to hear it, especially with what's going on with sort of mental health now. But I had a relatively good childhood and upbringing. I don't have some wild traumatic experience per se, right? Child of divorce, things like that. But I've spent so many years holding the door closed, thinking that I'm fine, like I'm standing and I'm relaxed and I'm easeful and it's totally okay. It takes what I learned in the journey by letting go of it and a lot of it, right? Certainly I'm never done with the learning, but I let go a lot of that and I got to kind of come home and be like, oh my God, I'm not, like it took so much energy all these years to like hold the door and hold the door and hold the door and hold the door and hold the door closed that was of the closet that was filled with all this shit that I thought about myself and other people and everything, just all the things that we put in that you might put in a more negative bucket or something. And that energy, it was like, I could get to the place when I went on this plant medicine journey where I felt like I met and had conversations with my 11-year-old self. I talked to my dad who had just passed away 3 years ago now or so, but he was like present. I just felt him, right? And whether that's on a cellular level or you think he's coming down from the sky or whatever anybody thinks, in some way energetically, he was like there. And it was really nice to sort of have that energy and negotiate with myself and call myself back into myself, like recognizing that I had a few things go on when I was quite young, when I was like 10, 11, 12, 13, and that this whole time I've been worried about that little kid. Like, is she okay? She's still inside me, right? In some way, grown version of her. And whether you believe time is a construct or not, she's around. And so that 11-year-old kid inside me, I've been worried about her this whole time. And I really, what I got to kind of see in sitting and down and trying to process all the things that happened at that age for me was, she is strong as hell. And she is a light. And there were moments that she was super sad, but like, mostly I'm the only one holding on to that. Like, and this like powerful, joyful, colorful, beautiful little girl really that like lives inside of me is just like wanting to get out and wanting to be loved and all of this stuff. And I've been like holding all this space and holding all this energy to try to protect her. And she doesn't really need it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that, I don't know if that story makes any sense to you when I say it, but it's just like being able to really spend and understand that space with some of the traumas or the neglect or the lack of self-worth I felt about myself, the way I beat myself up as a kid. It's like I could release so much of that. And then when I came home, I just felt like I had an opportunity to talk it out, work it out, put her back into me in the way that I wanted, recognize that I was the one that was just me as a grown adult is the one that was driven by this like child who was just excited for the world. And I felt like I got my voice back. There was a part of me recently in the last few years since my dad passed away, since I had this terrible breakup that was like trying to find my voice again, trying to find my heart and wanting to have all the colors that I have, because I can be intense and it's amazing and it can also be awful, right? Everything has a shadow side. So it's like, I can be amazing. I can be intense. I can be all these things, but I want it to be fully me because that's really like what matters. Mm. So coming back, having a lot of release from that, having a lot of tears, having a lot of laughter, and really feeling like it was okay to like walk away from holding that closet door of stuff, because the reality is like that closet is kind of empty and I'm just holding the door thinking there's all that stuff in there. And it's not like this metaphor either works or it doesn't, but I don't need to do that. I don't need to effort that much on something that's like the past. It's not that it doesn't matter. It just doesn't mean anything.
Hi, friends. I hope you're loving the show. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. One of the consistent biohacks in my home is red light therapy, or photobiomodulation, if you want to sound fancy at a dinner party. Now, red lights have been clinically shown to help with a plethora of health benefits, including increased energy, better circulation, increased testosterone production, workout recovery, hair growth, and even help with fine lines and wrinkles on your skin. There are even multiple studies showing benefits with Alzheimer's patients. Personally, this is something I recommend for most of my clients to have in their home for its incredible benefits and relatively low cost. Now, from my research, LightPath LED continues to innovate their designs, and they include multiple wave panels and pulsing. With this initial research showing a greater depth of penetration and benefit to mitochondrial health, which, if you're a fan of the podcast, you know this is the moving target when it comes to wellness. Mind the mitochondria. So, check out LightPathLED.com and use code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN, all lowercase, for a 10% discount in the checkout. The inventor and founder, Scott Kennedy, is a true gem of a human being and stands behind every light that he sells. This is a Beautifully Broken podcast, stamp of approval, 5 stars. Now let's get back to the show.
It's profound, everything you're saying. I think it's extremely resonant with anybody listening to this right now because, you know, we all do that to a degree. I mean, I can think of, and a lot of people in this space, you know, we present as like a Johnny on the spot or a type A, or like, I can get it done and I can do it. And there oftentimes I find that that is attached to the need to feel seen or valued, that look, because look at, I'm doing all these things because I'm worthy of love or achievement, or look at what a high performer I am. And that little girl at 11, when you're talking about her in the closet, I'm like, well, she just has it. She doesn't need to do anything. She just has it. She just is. So it's incredible. And anybody who's listening to this, yes, we're not medical doctors. You know, this is something that is, if you want to explore plant medicine, there's plenty of experts out there that can guide you, and you can read wonderful, wonderful books on this. And they're doing this work in the clinical setting right now. You know, you can go see a medical doctor to do many different types of therapies, whether they're pharmaceutical or they're more pure, like a plant medicine. And it can really be transformative with working through some of these blocks. I think what you said is, you've got all the tools. Why can't I do it myself? And I think that's why you're you. That's why you have a coaching business, because you can't, in my opinion, we can't coach ourselves. We can't fix ourselves with discernment. You know, I have all the tools and all the things, but I need to have someone just go put their hands on me and just like touch my belly sometimes, be like, oh, you're good, dude. And your body's like, oh.
Someone to call you out on your bullshit too. Like, that's really important, because, you know, there, that happens. You need, it's not about being mean. It's just about someone who's real honest with you. Like, hey, I see you're doing this, and maybe you should explore this other thing. Like, or just think about that. And those, you know, that direction can shift things a lot. I also will say, I always tell people about Third Wave, because they have great information, thirdwave.co.com, the Third Wave. There's great information on that website. It is an amazing resource for all psychedelics and what people are doing and how doctors are utilizing them. They have courses and things like that. And I just, there's tons of different organizations doing that, but they've been around for like 20 years and sort of really on the fringes when it first started to grow, that, you know, plant medicine and psychedelics. And I've done a ketamine journey under a doctor's supervision. And while it was interesting and I learned some things about myself, it was just to be able to spend a weekend with, it was like 4 facilitators and a small group of people. And 2 things really reign true. Number one, you feel safe, which is like with anything we're doing, it's the most important thing. I have probably not felt safer in my life. You know, maybe like, I don't know, when I was a baby with my mom or something, but I felt super safe, and then I felt super accepted. Like, I could have streaked through the backyard. I could have cried or laughed or screamed obscenities. It didn't matter. Everyone who was there was under this agreement to, you know, it's like radical self-acceptance and radical acceptance of others. Whatever you show up with, there is no judgment. And going into that, I felt, you know, I just, as we do as humans who are skeptical on the planet, and I'm also cautious in some ways because I have a lot of modalities I work into my practice. And I had experience with yoga in the past, people saying, is that a religion? Is that woo-woo? Is that this? Is that that? And it's like really just trying to delineate what I believe about all the practices I use, and not, I'm pretty science driven. And so that's for me, that's the good news. But walking into the door, being like, these people are not going to judge me. Like, come on, you know? And then really having that experience of fully being accepted for me, of being able to accept myself and for feeling safe, it gave me everything, you know? It's like, you can go and do these things, right? And give people the credit. But the reality is, I just wrote a big, long, mushy text to them all that said, you guys changed everything because you gave me permission to give myself permission to be who I want to be, to the next level or where I'm at, or to let go of all the shit that's in my metaphorical closet, because that's what I just needed someone to give me permission to give myself permission. And I really feel like there's a lot of capacity in that. Like, if people could just look in the mirror and give themselves permission to be a bit more themselves, a bit more, you know, who they innately are, I think we'd all be healing each other better and faster, you know?
Yeah, the world needs that right now. You know, you're saying this, and I was like, in my head, if I had my magic wand, I could say, world, everybody is good. We're going to all subdivide up. Everybody's going to do some mushrooms. That would go real bad because, as you said, there's like work you need to do to prime yourself for that experience. And right now, it's like, look at the way we're treating each other. You know, look at the way we're interacting. Look at the harm that we're causing. You know, look at the misunderstandings. Because we're all experiencing life as this, you know, it's from Freddy's view. I'm the Harry Potter in my own ever-expanding story, right? I'm turning the page. It's always about me, you know, and it's truly the hero's journey. I think the mental picture that I love to give people or offer, if maybe this is bullshit to you, but if you took like a huge sheet and the sheet went on for infinity, and if energy's all connected, if we each like pushed our finger up through the sheet, right? Like, that's Freddie. Like, here's Kristen. Here's Stephanie. Here's Eddie. Here's Bobby. It's all part of the sheet. It's like this little blip of 100 years. Like, we've got this energetic imprint, and you really are energetically connected. If we get into this realm of quantum physics and we start to break that down, it's really scary to think about all the stuff we don't understand yet, you know, but it's a co-reality. There is co-reality that we're sharing. And I think we have to be, tools like this remind us really, really quickly that we are all connected, and my story is your story. You know, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't a collective experience. I don't think. I'm like, what's the point if we're not going to do it together? We're here to commune. Yeah. You're not plopped on the earth to go live on an island and, like, you know, have your elite food in your little circle. You're here to do it together. And now, because of the construct of reality, the way we communicate through technology, it's so like hyper vigilant in your face. You know, it's getting that from, I feel, I'm like, ooh, that's hard. It's hard. It's hard. I'm not sure we're all spiritually ready to handle this right now. The technology that yields this hyper connection. So yeah, not to go on that soapbox, but it's so important that we do this work. And it doesn't need to be with plant medicine. It can be with prayer. It can be with fasting. Prayer,
it can be with breath. It can be with fasting. It's like, I had this big breathwork experience that laid up like 2 weeks before I went on that journey that I had. I was like, okay, like, I've had some amazing breathwork in my life from other facilitators for years and years before I was like, I need to become a practitioner of this, because it is not just, especially like with COVID, right? I was like, oh, this is the right thing. But it's like, because we are managing stress, because we are managing how we feel safe, because we are managing our health. But I had a breathwork only, like zero psychedelics, nothing else layered into it, experience a couple of weeks before the psychedelic, before the journey weekend, that was like, that prepped me in like just the way that my mind wandered with my breath and like thoughts and, let's say, like, you know, things that came to me that were absolutely relevant and applicable to what was going to happen 2 weeks later. And it's like, it's like, even when I went to the burn, it's like, have you been to Burning Man?
Not yet.
I feel like next year is the best year, you need to go. But I mean, it's perfect for you in many ways. And also, I want to say too, that like, this conversation can happen right now with you because of the human being that you are, because you choose to show up, because you choose to envelop those people that you come in contact with. And it doesn't always work like that, right? Mm. We can have that conversation. But when I went to Burning Man, the first year was 25,000 people. The last year I went, it was 75,000 people. And you just, even if you go and you're not buying it at all, when you have a collective of 25 to 70,000 people that all have a similar intention, there's always a few bad eggs, but a similar intention and energy always for positivity and caring about the community and making things happen. It's like, there is this statement out there that people say the playa provides. And it's like, it sounds hokey, but the reality is shit just happens that is magical. And it is like far too often to be some random coincidence that is just happening, that food shows up when you need it and your bike tire is flat. And then someone rolls by and is like, I have an extra tube. And like, it just on and on and on and on. And it's like, I laughed and said, if I didn't believe in collective consciousness before, this is it. Like this is, it's here. It's something we can touch. And I agree with you. I think like plant medicine or breath work or prayer, these are all vehicles that get us, that expedite the process of us getting there faster rather than being in our, you know, if we're in our little bubble and we're not looking out too far because it's a little scary out there, then we don't get to kind of see it as quickly. And we don't, why spend a life of 80 years, 100 years, 180 years working on this if we can get there a little bit faster in a way that we feel like we agree with and that is safe. And so for me, that was like, okay, this is the time. You know, I waited a long time. I did a lot of other practices. I worked a lot on myself with in traditional, non-traditional methods that you do in biohacking and with therapists and things. And so and it's also, you know, if we're going to come 360, it's like this, these experiences and the things that I've had in my life are the reasons I get to be a phenomenal coach for women, because we can talk about these things. And I also will say that since coming back from the Plant Medicine Weekend, I feel more intuitively and energetically connected to the work that I'm doing, and the way that I'm speaking to clients is very different. Not so much so that they would say, who is this person, but just I see and can call out things that just feel more intuitive, because I think for me, the window is clear, right? The fog is like, the mist is sort of lifted and I can see a lot more clearly what's going on with other people. And some people in the gym space and stuff, I'm like, I love you. I came home and I'm like a little more huggy and a little more, if people will allow it, you know, a little more like oxytocin dependent, and really understanding the power of telling people how you feel. I cleared some stuff. I had some difficult conversations the week I came home, like conversations I've been wanting to have for a while, and was like a little in fear around, and just said, there's no reason to fear this. Let's like not make it a drama. Let's just have a conversation without being attached to the outcome. You know, I love you. I hate you. This isn't working. This is working, whatever the things are. And if we all sort of just like took an inhale and took an exhale and said to each other sweetly, like with some kindness, some things that maybe we needed to talk about, then I think we'd be better off.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. That's really beautiful. I can't wait to meet in person. Yeah. I want to go back. You said, loneliness is a challenge right now. Everybody's a little bit lonely. How have you dealt with loneliness in the pandemic?
It's one of the things that I'm really thankful for is having clients and people who are interested in working with me, you know, through technology during the course of COVID, because the first thing that happened was my mother and my sister and I put together a little thing called the Zoom Boom Room. I don't know why we called it that. And we just did regular Zoom calls, and that was really helpful. My mom being like a little bit older and her, the man she's dating is not in great health. Like she was very, very, very quarantined and has been, or was for well over a year. I got a chance to see her in January. So that was really beautiful. So the first thing was like create a mini community that has to do with my family to not just make sure that I felt okay because I live alone, but that they did. Mm. The second piece is that I really believe in the power of the work, the people leaning into understanding. I mean, there is a silver lining of quarantine and this whole virus, which is people are taking more personal responsibility for their health, their wellness, their immunity. And because of that, I got to have clients during the course of all the quarantine. And I run an N-week program called Wow Factor, Women Optimizing Wellness. And I really felt a little bit more separation anxiety at the end of every 9 weeks. At the end of every 9 week cycle, like a client finishes, and of course they stay in my life forever. I check in on them even probably when they don't want me to. But I have so much gratitude for the fact that I get to do this work and get to do this work with people who are willing to share and be open enough to talk about the things they're going through, because it's not always easy. And those, I would say that the women that I worked with over the course of COVID and quarantine, one of whom got COVID, like lots of things going on, really, they hold a special place in my heart, because we just both, on every call, the two of us would be able to, you know, I'm there coaching them, but there's also like a lot of conversation around what's happening in the world. And so that was helpful. And then the third thing that happened was I am a part of a gym community. All the gyms closed down. There's one gym in LA that has an outdoor space. They closed for 2 months out of the course of the last 16 or whatever. And because they have this outdoor yard, it gave me the opportunity to get back to the gym. And so that community, Deuce Gym, is here in Venice, California. They have a location in West Hollywood as well, and down in Hermosa Beach. And that community of coaches, and like COVID hit, and that week I wrote the owner of the gym and was like, you have this leadership program. I have to write a letter of intent. I want to learn from you and I want to connect. And I know this is the shittiest time ever to show up and say, hi, I'm here. I want to like learn more and dive in because no one can. And he was like, awesome. Let's like do this. And so I just threw myself into that world, and it was a big piece of how I stayed mentally stable and connected to some people in person, because as you see in the city, in Manhattan and in many, many places, people are not leaving their houses.
Yeah.
And so it was like 5 days a week, 1 hour or so, masked up, 14 temperature checks, but getting out and seeing people and like making eye contact and trying to smile and having our own little squares outdoors so we could take the mask off while we did the workout, put the mask back on and go, it was it for me. So I'm an extrovert and I need people and I need oxytocin. And so the power of touch is something that's been really hard to be away from for not just me, but hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, in the world.
Yeah.
But those were sort of the three things that I did to manage all the shifts that were happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then look for the silver lining, go to the park and watch people get on this parks and rec equipment they put in like 20 years ago. That's like a flies and a pull-up bar. And like people are on there just being like tying bands to it and bringing dumbbells from the 60s and, you know, getting after it.
Yeah. What do you think, because I want to be respectful of our hour, or my back-to-back podcast booking. As we look at our hour here, our time together, you know, and your expertise is obviously vast in this field of biohacking, human optimization. Can you give the audience one biohack that you are so excited about right now that you really haven't talked about a lot on social media, maybe?
I talk a lot about ice on social media, so we won't talk about that. I've talked about it a little on social. It's hard to not touch on these things, but I'm just like vibing with red light therapy a lot. I have some involvement with FlexBeam, this brand that's like a portable red light therapy device. I like it specifically because it functions like, there's something called the breath belt out there. And so this has like an elastic belt that straps the red light to you. And I can use it for lots of tactile feedback with breath work, and it helps me sleep. I can track it in my BioStrap and my Aura Ring and see that it's really doing some good for sleep. And also I had a shoulder injury over the course of the year from too much barbell training. And it just shifted that. It changed the game. I did some rehab. I did a lot of red light therapy. I took 6 weeks off the barbell and stayed on dumbbells, but it was, I mean, just vastly different than any injuries I've tried to heal from before.
Amazing. I love that. We are a big fan of red light therapy on this platform. There's so many applications that are coming out, and it's like, it's so easy. It's such a low price point too. It's like for under $1,000, you can get a great light and everybody in the household can use it. And for me, being in upstate New York for a lot of the pandemic, I just didn't get that seasonal depression. It just doesn't happen. You're in LA. So I mean, God, the light spectrum that you're dealing with is so amazing there. But upstate New York, Connecticut, New York, Buffalo, Rochester, it's dark. I mean, they're some of the higher seasonal depression capitals of the world.
Yeah.
So that's a big one for me. And so then the other thing I need to ask is, if you had a magic wand and you could gift the people of the world anything, what would it be?
You know, it stems off our other conversation. I feel like I want to give everybody a mirror that reflects their truest self so that I can see how beautiful that they are. You know, and I'm not talking about aesthetic, you know, so they could see their insides.
Or truth mirror.
Yeah.
I love that. And then, Kristen, where can people connect with you if they want to learn more, if they would like to have a one-on-one conversation? Where would we send them?
They can see me, anything that's around warrior woman mode, even if you Google it, but it's warriorwomanmode.com on Instagram. And most of the socials, I'm warrior woman mode. And that's where they can find access to me. They can book a call with me really easily. They can download. I launched a meal plan. That's the 30-day meal plan for warrior women that talks a little bit about what we started the conversation around, which is like how to eat right and train right for your hormones and how to cycle to build metabolic flexibility. So it's all there, all the buttons and all the bells and whistles.
That's great. And I would just implore people, it's such a great skill. You work with your body, not against it, work with your hormonal system. And I will just offer this from my experience. I often do consults with people and they say, oh, my hormones are fine. And I say, well, how did you look at those hormones? And they've looked at estrogen, or they've looked at testosterone, or one thing. And the cool thing that you mentioned is the Dutch test, the dried urine, is going to look at the whole HPA axis. So every hormone in relation to every hormonal system of your body. And you're going to be able to establish like a clock, you know, where the dials are off. So I would just, again, that's just clutch. Life, we have 100 years again. Like, why waste your time pushing against a brick wall when you're not going to move it until you look at the right dials?
Yeah. And also year over year, especially with women who are like over 35, you know, this is hold true for men, but it's probably a little bit more time. It's like, you should be doing it every year. I know it's a cost. I understand we're not all in a great fiscal or an economical situation, but the long-term benefits of spending on the test, if you can't get other certain tests done, but sometimes your doctor, you can get them to sort of run something that's covered if you have insurance, but making sure that everyone's, women specifically, I like them to do it once a year, because like the benefits in the long term, you want to spend $10,000 or $20,000 on some issue down the road, or you want to spend $500 now. I think it's an important point to make about that, because people come to me on these calls and they're like, let me send you my recent labs. And they're like 4 years old.
I love it. So be current.
Yeah.
Be current, be on time. It has been a joy to have you on the podcast. We could talk for 4 hours. I hope we can do it again.
Amazing. Like we're going to make you come on mine. I'm going to make you come on mine and then ask you pointed questions about things you never talked about before. I'm excited about that now. Do
please.
Some research and get after it.
Anything is on the table. I will go anywhere with that. Thank you for being a guest on the Beautifully Broken podcast. Namaste.
Does anybody think that these health upgrades sound expensive? They can be an investment. But after truly learning how money works, the inflationary nature of our fiat currency, combined with the fact that big banks charged, are you ready for this? $34 billion to the poorest members of society. I knew I was ready for a shift. In my opinion, money is energy. And I've seen too many scenarios which compromised health is attached to financial distress. The energy is not flowing. And to break that cycle, it's going to take a new level of thinking to come up with a different result. Enter Celsius Network. This is my bank that's not a bank. Celsius is a place to store cryptocurrency safely and get an incredible return on your stored wealth. They share up to 80% of the revenue with the users, not the board of trustees, so you can earn up to 17.78% APY distributed weekly. I'd like to see a bank beat that. So what does that look like? Every Monday, I get a direct deposit of the money I've earned as a reward for joining the community on my beautifully designed app with this high-end customer interface. I've made over $2,600 by joining Celsius in just over 9 months. I've never made that in the history of time through my old, air quote, big bank. So they have 0% in withdrawal fees. Over 500,000 users and $10 billion in assets that are insured. And you can also use your crypto or borrow dollars or stable coins with loans starting at just 1%. That's correct. You can borrow from yourself and keep your own money and pay it back over the next 6 months to a year. Say it with me, financial freedom is back on the market. So check out the link in the show notes to join Celsius. I've got a special offer to earn $30 in stable coins by joining the community. Please don't take this as financial advice, and everything I offer is an opportunity to do your own research and make the best choice for your abundance. Let the green energy flow so you can do more good in the world. My friends, you made it to the end of the podcast, and here we are in season 3. I think our relationship is developing into something really special. So there are two ways to support this show. The first is by joining my membership program at buymeacoffee.com/FreddieSetGo. Here you'll get early access to all the podcasts, bonus episodes, video clips, discounted coaching, and free webinars with thought leaders in the wellness and transformational technology industry. It's a chance to take your listening experience and put it into action. The second way is to support the podcast through FreddieSetGo.com and download the Beautifully Broken Buyer's Guide. This is my new ebook, which is a collection of transformational technology, supplements, and courses that have worked for me, my clients, and my family. These are things that I've found to be incredibly helpful in my healing journey, and I put them all in one book. Most of them offer significant discounts just by clicking the link or using the discount code. And please know they don't cost you anything extra. And at the same time, they support the podcast through affiliations. My heart thanks you for tuning in. I'm so glad you're here with us. If you've enjoyed today's show, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. And if you want to connect with me directly, I'm on Instagram at FreddySetGo or buymeacoffee.com/FreddySetGo. Last message from my vast team of lawyers that I pay a lot of money for. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only. By listening, you agree not to use the information found here as medical advice to treat any medical condition in yourself, your family members, or others. Always consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having challenges with. That's it for today. Our closing, the world is changing. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading. Remember, while life is pain, putting the fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I love you. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel. Namaste.